I managed to bounce back. I was sick. I was literally, guys, you don't know what it's like to have a herpes in your head, okay? I had this thing where a herpes virus attacks your cranial function, and it's the nerve that controls your talking, your, like, everything on your face. Long story short, you just became a villain on Batman. Like, I got dipped in some Acme acid at, you know, some Gotham chemical bank, and I became a freak. And I was disabled. I had lost a job. I was done for. And then, like all things, guys, I hung in there, and I was so depressed, I gave up. And my dad gave me this quote, and he told me, you know, I need you to just put it in your car, read it every day, three times in the morning, three times at night. And it was a quote by Carl Jung that said, I am not what has happened to me. I am what I choose to become. And it made sense. It's like I was here disabled, but I couldn't sit there and feel sorry for myself. I couldn't be in my room another day, you know, like when you're an active person, the worst thing you can be is idle. And for 3 months I was bedridden, and I just said, fuck it. I had to restart everything, guys, from comedy to skating. I started all over again on everything. I had to teach myself how to skate again because my balance was fucked. I had to teach myself to do comedy again because I couldn't talk because half my mouth was fucked. And somehow I made it through. And in this process, I met some of the most awesome people. I'm in a better place now. Believe it or not, I actually teach skateboarding at a high school. Yeah, I'm a freaking after school program teacher who teaches skateboard, which is ironic. Because when I grew up, when you had a skateboard, you were, like, pretty much a piece of shit, you know? Like, the hierarchy was, like, taggers. Those, like, gangbangers, taggers, and skaters. It was not cool. There was no Instagram. You wore brands, and no one knew what they were. They were like, what the fuck is DC? It was, like, some freaking Payless brand to them. And, you know, you were kind of, like, outcasted, a little misunderstood. And I grew up in the era where, you know, it wasn't as widely accepted. And so to kind of go back in time, like a movie where a guy goes back to high school to relive his youth, that's me. I live literally around kids all week. I'm a skate teacher. We had two high school tournaments, which my high school won both. And I'm in a different position. Like, I'm in a leadership position. Like, I'm Mr. Miyagi right now. Like, I'm just, you know, it's not about me anymore. Like, I'm responsible for these kids, and it's weird because they call me Mr. Wang. And it's just funny because I've never been heard as Mr. So it makes me feel old, but then it's also Mr. Wang. Like, Mr. Wang, like, I remember one time I got hurt and I started cussing. And so the kid told my supervisor that Mr. Wang kept saying fuck, 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 fuck. And it just doesn't sound right when Mr. Wang says that. Because another interesting thing is I found out that Wang is actually blocked on the YouTube search because it's a derogatory term. And I was a little bummed because I was like, who the fuck made Wang a dick? You know, like, I want to find this guy, whoever ruined my name or tarnished the word Wang, and cock block his name. You know, like, how's Wang bad, but Mr. Johnson, or you're okay with Mr. Johnson, or Mr. Boner is fine? Like, at that time, my friend said he had a teacher named Mr. Boner. Dude, your name is Mr. Boner, dude? Really? You don't think these kids are going to be just laughing at that, let alone I'm Mr. Wang now, and I had to get used to being Mr. Wang, and I'm with this electric skate company. You know, I'm doing everything I love. You know, I've always been in jobs where I felt like I was always just trying to manipulate people to buy a product that I wasn't into. And now I'm doing something I love. I'm in charge of like creating content. They respect me as a comedian. So it's like a two-way street. You know, I'm the brand ambassador. I'm doing all their marketing. Like they want to like rebrand my image. And like, I'm like the George Foreman grill, like come to life, you know, like I'm the endorser of the product, which I love. If you guys never got an electric skateboard, shout out to Skatebolt, get yourself one, dude. There are two other things that are more exciting than that: cocaine and sex. That's it. There's nothing really more. So, I mean, if you guys can get one, skateboldst.com. Sorry for the shameless promotion, but make sure you subscribe to my channel, Wang's World, and Skateboard SD, because now we're doing fully funded, paid, high quality content videos on YouTube, which is another dream that has now come into fruition. And so all this has happened in the span of over a year. And the last time, at the same time, this month, I was in a bed, sick to my stomach, freaking not being able to get out, just in the worst physical and mental condition of my life. And in that year, I've accomplished so much, man. I fought back. I felt like those sport documentaries where the guy gets too cocky and, you know, rips his, like tears a ligament or something, or I don't know. And I had to freaking start over. And in that process, I remain grateful, dude, because I got a lot of really awesome blessings. It's kind of like, you know, Jesus I'm far from Jesus, but you know, when he got resurrected, I mean, he had to go through all that. Like, I went through some pretty heavy shit, guys. I went to jail a few times. I don't know. Like, my life is just a Grand Theft Auto game over and over. Like, you don't know what's going to happen. And I'm finally in a place where the stars are aligned. And I can't be any more grateful. You know, I get paid to teach skateboarding to kids. And I get paid to produce videos that are comedy and skate related. And I also personal train skate kids as well. I have my own little private lessons. And just, I think about when I was a young dude in high school. To be honest, guys, I did all of this on a lower scale. I worked at a skate shop. I like to be funny with my friends. I love to tell stories. And I love to skate. And I taught kids. I remember I was like, my first job ever was this super hot Greek mom. These two little white kids moved next door to me. And I taught them how to skate. But I also, not only did I teach them to skate, I exposed them to my culture, like hip hop culture. And, you know, one of the kids reached out to me 20 years later and was like, "Hey dude, I don't know if you know this. Like, I'm old." He's like in his mid 20s now. When I knew him, he was like 12. And he's like, "I had a really rough life, and it was because of you exposing me to good hip hop that saved me." And I guess after, you know, I saw him, he grew up and went through some harsh times, and he ended up becoming a some sort of an art. He works with the city and he does graffiti. Like, he does like beautiful murals. He gets contracted to do something in relation to that. And he was so grateful that I had shown him that. And it makes me wonder, like, you know, you don't know how much of an impact you're making on a young person's life. That's why, like, the teaching, the skating thing is kind of rad. Because I also get to expose them to things that I know, and they expose me to things they know. And I'm an old fuck. You know, I don't realize how old I was until I went back to high school, and every song is chilling on the bus. It's just like, I just don't, you know, I realize I don't like the music now, but then at the same time, our parents didn't like the music now. and their parents didn't like the music now. And it's just a generation of just old fucks that hate young shit. And like now Wu-Tang is old, you know, it's like we're old men, and to go back and hear like their type of shit. And I'm going to be honest. It just sounds like everyone drank a bottle of cough syrup or promethazine and decided to hop in the booth with some auto tunes. Like that's all it sounds like to me. But anyways, it was so bad that I got my privileges to using the public speaker taken away because the language is offensive, and it wasn't even the music I was playing. It was this like garbage that this girl was playing, and now we got our rights revoked, so now I have to submit my playlist to be approved. You know how annoying that is? Like, sure, Shame on a Nigga is, this is a very, you know, clean song. You know, it's like, get out of here. And so here we are, man. I got to, what else did I do? I headlined my first gig, dude. Sold out the Marquee, son. I freaking sold out. Shout out to the Oakhurst girl. I got booked for my first sold out headliner gig. And now I've been headlining. And it's weird because I'm not like a headliner, because I know comedians will be like, you just can't say that. But I'm proud of that, you know, even if it isn't on a huge scale. I worked my ass off to get put as the headliner, even if it's like a smaller show. It's not like some freaking huge Joe Coy, you know, Madison Arena Garden or whatever that is. It's like I worked 10 years to get to a point where you don't even know you reached a level of like, oh, this guy can close out a show. It just happens. It just basically organically falls into place. And yeah, so that's where I'm at now. And I've been headlining shows. I did my 1 hour, guys. I recorded my 1 hour. It was beautiful. Shout out to Crazy Woke Asians for letting me do that. I called it Dadder Day, and I took all the videos of me and my dad, and I talked about my mom's cancer and why I make those videos, and yeah, people tearing up at the end, and I felt like it was really honest. It was my most honest work, and I felt really good about that. But a million other things started to happen too, man. I started my YouTube channel. That was part of my bucket list. And now, you know, I'm with a full production crew from beginning to end. I mean, like, seeing how the whole process works. You know, I'm hiring, paying people out, casting. I mean, I'm the executive producer on a lot of these projects. And it's like, you know, a lot of people wonder, like, oh, how did you get into that? And the truth is, I've always been into this. If anyone's ever known me as a kid, all I wanted to do was skate and make people laugh. And now I found a way to do that to make money. And sometimes when the system fails you, you got to create your own system. And it was hard to get to this point, though, guys. Like, it was not easy. There are a lot of mucks in the road. And that's why chasing a dream is hard. It's not for the heart of faint. It isn't. If you could play it safe, like a lot of my friends, you know, they got a great job. They have all these benefits. And they're able to support their families. Shout out to those people. It's not easy. The world is hard. It's, you know, I was lucky to have loving parents that, like, my mom babied me until she passed away. And I, too, wouldn't let her let go of her hand until she passed. I stayed at home my whole life. And so my social growing was a little outdated. You know, I'd bring girls home, and like they would wake up thinking it was my house, and you know, they'd open the eye, just see my mom screaming at me like with her heel, "I find the women's shoes. What kind of hooker is in the house?" And these women would just wake up like freaking victims on Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Like, I tricked them. I got her tied to a radiator, screaming for help. Like, it's just that bad, you know. It's not like that, but the level of how intense that is for some women. But luckily I've managed to meet some really cool girls who saw past that. And another thing, guys, I live alone now, and I used to think living with my mom, like, I would want my own place because I wanted privacy to be, let's be real, like, to be able to, like, to have sex with my girlfriend or something and not worry, you know? And now that I live alone, it's not like that. Actually, it got more play when I was with my mom because I think the stakes were higher. So I would do more things to try to hide it around her, you know? And, you know, it's kind of like when you tell someone they can't do something and they do it more. And now that I'm in this position where I'm alone, it's like I spend most of my nights alone, man, on this thing or talking to you guys out there, whoever's listening. And now I'm just kind of like, I miss my mom, you know? It wasn't that bad. Wasn't that bad at all. So I wanted to just kind of come on here and let you guys know the most incredible thing that has ever happened to me. And I'm going to open up to you guys a little about something. Okay. When my mom passed, I think 6-7 years ago, it fucked me up, guys. I mean, I don't know if you guys ever lost a parent, but it's not easy. And the next weekend after she passed, I flew out to Portland to do a show. Not a comedy show, it's my old job, tattoo supplies, and basically traveled around the world. And I was like outside salesman for tattoo supplies. So I'd have to go into these conventions and sit there all day while I have guys that look like villains in Spider-Man movies, you know, complain that needles don't work. And you're just kind of like, well, you're a lizard, so why don't you call Geico for insurance? But, you know, I mean, the thing is, when you're on the road, you get, like, perks, too. You get a rental, you get a credit card, unlimited, like, a per diem. Not unlimited, but you get to go explore. And that weekend, I just decided to rage. And I got really drunk, man. And I drove around on a rental. I remember waking up in a driveway. And in this driveway, like, I just remember, all I remember is like, what the fuck, right? Well, we've all been there, we get faded and we pass out. I guess I had just gotten some McDonald's and I parked in some guy's driveway and I was trying to eat it and then I knocked out. So I wake up and this guy is just like knocking on the window. He's like, hey, dude, are you all right? And I'm like, I'm all right. And then all of a sudden, he's on his phone. He goes, oh, he's awake. I go, he's awake? Who are you talking to? He's like, I'm on the phone with the cops. And I was like, why are you calling the cops, you asshole? And he's like, because you're in my property. And I was like, dude, don't call the cops. He's all too late. So I was like, I get in that car, and I reverse, and I dip out. And next thing you know, dude, this is the worst thing that could ever happen to anybody, is an out-of-state DUI. And I get arrested. I was way above my limit. And I get thrown in jail in Portland. And I was down there, and it was horrible. There was this, like, gay hairdresser, like, meth addict that was just, you know, those over-the-top gay guys who are just bouncing off the walls and annoying the fuck out of everybody. And, like, just, where's my call? Where's my fucking call? Just that voice. And then this guy went as far as to throw my registration jail receipt in the public toilet just for no reason. And you just, I don't know. It's funny because when you sit in a holding room in jail, you just look around. You're like, everyone, dude, here has like a story. And then that thing has fucked me up because I was able to go to the court and get the sentence, and I never went back to take classes because I just didn't have the money to fly back and forth. Like, I didn't have it like that, you know. And they put a hold on my license. So then what happened was I got two driving on a suspended license tickets. And the second one, you actually had to do some jail time. So I had to do 4 days community service. So as of right now, like, I'm not really driving. And if I do, it's like I have to use the car to do what I have to do to make things work. Like, I'm sure there's a lot of guys out there on the grind. Like, don't judge me, ladies. Like, I'm not here looking at you and, you know, talking about the child support money you owe or the abortions. And I'm sorry. Long story short, stop saying long story short, but we're not all clean. We all have something. And mine is just taking care of that DUI that I got 9 years ago. And so, you know, when I have to do my shows, I gotta drive. And so right now, I've been using the company car. We have a company car. It's fully registered under the company. So I'll use that when I need to do shows. And on the most part, I'm always good. I'm very like conscious of my driving and my patterns. And right now, like I've already taken care of all my driving things. So I'm pretty much squared off. It's just that the license is still on hold. And I'm also on probation from those two tickets. So I can't do anything or I go to jail and I'm fucked. So here is the most craziest story I'm about to tell you. A lot of times stuff like this, it doesn't happen in real life. Like you see this in movies where the stakes are so high and what has happened, you know, that sometimes you don't know like what to expect. And I got done doing a show this weekend. Shout out to the Dominguez Community Center. Fucking fantastic show. Had the best show of my life. And I leave on a full stomach and I had a few drinks. I'm feeling good. So then I start driving home. And then I decide to smoke. Because in weed, you can smoke weed legally. And sometimes I'll take my medication in the car, you know. So I hit my pipe. And the next thing you want, I see those sirens flashing. And I'm just like, I'm done. I just saw my life flash for the past 4 months of just pure fucked. I mean, I can't even tell you guys. When you're in that situation, for people out there who have never been in a situation like this, it's scary. Jail is not fun. It's very serious. And you can't be a pussy about it. You got to face the music. And I thought I was over. So the cop follows me all the way off the freeway exit. I still get chills thinking about it. And keep in mind, I did have a few drinks. I'm not fucked up, but I had a few drinks. So we pulled to the side and he pulls out his little questionnaire thing and he starts to ask me, have you been smoking marijuana tonight? I go, yes. He goes, you know the reason I pulled you over? I go, why, sir? And he's all, because you were ripping your bowl. And I go, oh, thank you. And then he goes, okay, well, I'm going to ask you a few questions, and it's just an assessment test on marijuana rules because they're so new, and we just need to see if you can effectively drive a vehicle while under the influence of marijuana. I was like, okay, shoot. And he goes, okay, what do you use the marijuana for? I was like, you mean like medicinal purposes? He's like, yes. I was like, well, I legit use it for medical reasons. For one, my glaucoma is very... my glaucoma can get very, inconvenient at times. And I have lower back pains. And I mean, these are like exaggerated truths, but they are kind of the truth. I mean, minus the glaucoma, but I was like, well, it helps me focus and music better. List makes me the music more exciting. And he's like, okay, And he goes, "Whoa, dude, have you been drinking?" I go, "A little bit." And he's like, "How many drinks?" It's like, "A beer." He's like, "Really? A beer? Okay. So if I blow this breathalyzer and it goes over the limit, I can take you to jail for lying or perjury?" And I go, "Okay, you know what? I had 3 beers." It's like, "Okay, good. Now we got that out of the way. Let's take some tests." Gets through the questions, yada, yada, yada. Then he goes, "I want you to follow my light." So I follow the light with my eyes. And then he goes, "Now I want you to walk in a straight line." And I knew at that moment I was a little buzzed. I couldn't do the straight line thing. And I didn't want that to throw me in jail. So I just said, "I have vertigo from Bell's palsy," which is true. And I said, "The marijuana actually helps to calm that down." And he was really understanding, and he goes, "Okay, well, we won't do that test then." He's like, "But I will have to have you do another test." And it was basically, if you guys take yoga, it was a sitting tree pose for like 30 seconds on each leg. And keep in mind, if you guys don't take yoga, this is where yoga fucking, I was like, "Wow, thank you, God." Because when he told me to do that pose, I was buzzed. And it was hard to balance on one leg. But yoga teaches you to be calm in these situations. So I held that sitting tree in like I was freaking doing like hot yoga and some canyon springs. Like I was on point. I gave that motherfucker an extra 10 seconds. And he was like, "Damn, okay." And then after I had to count to 30, which I did fine. But last but not least, add a bone to the breathalyzer. And I thought at that moment I was gone, right? And then I blew into the breathalyzer, and I blew a 0.7, bitches. Can you believe that? I was 1% off the legal limit. And I'd even mention this small detail. Had he taken my ID and ran my number, I would have been gone. But I told the guy I didn't have an ID. And I was able to get away with that. Like, he was like, "Okay, you don't have an ID. Then, all right, we'll just, we'll let that one pass." And I'm just like, whoa. It was like something you would see in like a Jonah Hill movie, like Superbad. And so I blow the 0.7 and he goes, "Well, I'm going to let you go tonight. I think that you are well aware of, you know, that you are under the influence. But you have passed the test, and we're going to let you go home tonight." Guys, I was going to cry. That does not happen. This does not happen in real life. Had that guy been one of those white, pink-looking white guys, I would be in jail right now. And the fact that I wanted to just hug this cop and tell him everything I've been through and why that letting me go meant more than just anything, but couldn't, because if I did, I would really go to jail. I just can't say thank you enough to the universe, to everybody, to everything that's been happening so great in my life. And yeah, you know, I am trying to take care of these mistakes. But at the end of the day, it's like we all grind it out. We all have demons. We all have things that we need to take care of. And I'm finally in this position where I am manning up to my mistakes. And when something like that happens, I don't find it to be coincidence, because coincidences happen when you don't expect it, right? Like, it's like, oh my God. But this happens because there's something else out there that is looking out. And whether it's my mom or Danny Lau, my good friend who passed, just to be able to be here tonight and do this podcast is more than enough. And I just want to say thank you to everybody for listening. If you made it this far, you can go back to doing your spreadsheets. But thank you for tuning in. Make sure to follow me on my Instagram, George Wang Jr. Download the new Make It Wang video on YouTube and subscribe. And if you like it, follow me and subscribe. Just don't follow me in real life, because that's kind of creepy. So anyways... Let's get out of here.